Hello, friends. Uncle Marv here with another episode of the IT Business Podcast, the show for IT professionals where we talk all about tech, network support, business support, anything that we can do to help you run your business better, smarter, and faster. Today, we are joined by an absolute marvel in the community, Rayanne Buccianico. You know, I always mess that up.
It's okay. It's Buccianico.
Yeah, Buccianico. With ABC Solutions, a notable figure in our MSP space, known for her expertise in MSP accounting and helping people to optimize their PSA systems, we're going to be talking about a lot of the things, what you need to do to just get yourself set up right. And I want to thank SuperOps for being today's sponsor of the audio podcast, the all-in-one future-ready PSA RMMs platform designed for fast-growing MSPs. Empower your operations and supercharge your success. So, Rayanne, I want to thank you for making some time to hang out with me.
Thanks, Marv. I always love coming to hang out with you. And, you know, I have to say, I picked my name specifically, right? Like, I designed it myself so that people would recognize that it was me as soon as they heard it or, you know, mispronounce it. So it's all good stuff.
And my name is, I probably need to tweak my name a little bit because, you know, I will say my last name and then people will wait thinking that there's more coming after it.
I love your name, Marvin B, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't know if you're saying, you know, an initial or a name.
Right, right. Oh, my goodness gracious. So, Rayanne, when I chatted with you and talked about the fact that I wanted to focus on an MSP money month, and I wanted to do that with the idea that, you know, even though I've been in business quite some time, I've been talking to other business owners, other MSPs, and it seems as though a lot of us got into business not knowing much about money. We knew a lot about tech. We knew a lot about fixing computers, and we know a lot about, you know, AV, EDR, RMM, PSA. But when it comes to the bottom line, making sure that we're making money at the end of the day, people know income, they know outgo or expenses, and then don't have an idea how to make sure that there's money left over. So I thought I'd get you on here and give some people, you know, an idea of how to start off right. So you've been doing this for a couple of decades now, right?
So I've been in public accounting my entire adult life. Right. And I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but the first decade or so, I was in strictly public accounting, but then we started to really migrate into technology. That was in a time where people started migrating their businesses from paper checkbooks to, you know, computerized accounting systems. So I really got involved then. And then I started to build accounting systems. And then I really got involved with the IT sector because I went through MCSE courses. My first Microsoft certification was an NT 4.0. I guess I kind of am dating myself.
Yeah, that you sure did.
So it just made sense to me to, you know, because I really love the technology and I still love technology and IT. And then, and I was doing a lot of SBS consulting and things like that, but my love was always the business and the accounting side. So I kind of married the two and that's how I got here. ABC, the name of my company, ABC Solutions, stands for Accounting, Business and Computing Solutions, because I take all of that knowledge and bring it together.
All right. So, yeah. So NT4.0 and SBS. Yeah. That puts you in a certain genre. At least you didn't say NT 3, you know, 0.5 or 3.5.1.
No,
is really what it is.
I was a Nobel person back then.
group wise.
Yes.
I remember that as well. So, Ryan, let me ask you this. You probably get a lot of companies that come to you after the fact with, you know, the mess has already been made. But if we were to be able to go back and give them an idea of, you know, if you're just starting out, you just, you know, are deciding to set up your IT company, your MSP, and you wanted to get started on the right foot, what would be some of the things that you would tell companies, do these things first?
Okay. So as a matter of fact, I think I just saw this exact same question on Reddit last week, right? I'm starting my MSP. I got my first client. What do I do? The very first thing that you're going to want to do is make sure that you get yourself an accounting system. And, you know, we support QuickBooks, QuickBooks Online, but there are plenty others out there. There's Xero, there's WaveApp. Like if you really, you know, if you really want to start small, or if you're starting super small and you need something free or next to free, you know, take a look at Wave App, WaveApp. It's not great, but it's a place to start, right? And then you want to figure out how you are going to track your income. What kind of income, you know, will you have? Are you going to be selling products? Are you going to be selling services? Are you going to be selling your time? And so when you start to think about how am I selling services, now you build your revenue streams, right? Products is one revenue stream, and your services, your recurring services, they're going to be a separate revenue stream. And then, you know, your professional services or your time that you're selling, that will be a third revenue stream, and they all have their own specific costs and their own specific margins, right? You know, you can't sell your managed services at the same margins as your products. If you try to mark up a computer to your client by 85%, you're going to get some pushback from the client, right? Likewise, if you try to sell your services for a 20% margin, you know, you're going to get some pushback from your family because they're going to be eating hot dogs for the rest of their life. So you need to start to think about each of those revenue streams and where you're going to make your money. And that will help you focus as to what types of services or products you want to sell more of.
So let me go back and just be clear, because when people get, say, for instance, QuickBooks, and they get the little starter list of accounts, you know, it's going to say something like gross revenue, and that's it. So right. You're saying that people need to go in and add these other accounts under the gross revenue, separate out, you know, these accounts so that you know what's coming in specific to which account that you attach it to, right?
That's exactly it, right? So when you open up your QuickBooks and it says sales, right? Sales is fine, but it doesn't tell you anything. It doesn't tell you what kind of sales. So yeah, you're going to go into your QuickBooks and you're going to add a new account and you're going to call it an income account and you're going to say recurring services or managed services, you know, and then you'll create another one and you will call that product sales. And then maybe you'll create a third one and you'll call that one professional services, where you can post your time. I'm going to caution you. Go easy on yourself, right? Plenty of time in the future to overcomplicate things. Start simple and make it easy for you to find the right account to post things in and find the right account to post the expenses in. So the income is going to go into the income accounts, and the direct costs, like when your RMM costs or your advanced threat protection costs or your Microsoft 365 subscriptions, right, that you're reselling. If you are selling it to a customer, it's a cost of goods sold or a cost of the sale, right? And that's going to help you separate out your direct expenses from your fixed expenses or your overhead. Overhead is going to be things like, you know, the rent of your office, if you even have an office. The utility bills, the insurance bills, you know, your telephone, right? Your cell phone, if they're just starting out. So there's a lot of Those are overhead expenses. Like, you're going to pay $50 a month for that cell phone bill, whether you use it or not. That's fixed. That's what we mean by a fixed expense. But if a client comes on and they need 20 Microsoft licenses, then your Microsoft costs are going to go up. But guess what? So is your revenue by the same amount of money. And so the cost of sales are directly related to the sale, whereas the overhead or the fixed costs should stay flat and even month after month so that you can count on.
All right. And so in the same way we separate out the income, we separate out the expenses. I know that when I set up my QuickBooks, cost of goods sold, I kind of left where it was for many years.
until, so you had one until line.
One line. But then I started going back and creating the different accounts so that, you know, my recurring revenue, you know, I had an income and an expense related to both. I still grouped a bunch of things together so I don't have a ton. You know, you don't want to have an expense account and an income account for each and every product.
Right. Remember, think about your bookkeeper, right? Because it's real easy, especially if you're using a PSA. Do you use a PSA, Mark?
I do not.
But if you are, it's real easy to separate your, you know, your revenue out and have it land inside your accounting system. You know, like, oh, I sold, you know, I'm selling a server. So I want to track all of the sales of servers. And so you create a general, you create an income account called server sales underneath product sales. And then you, maybe you want to track your laptops. So you create an income account called laptops underneath product sales sitting right next to servers. It's super easy to do at the income level. It's incredibly difficult to do at the cost level. Think about the bookkeeper. They're going to see a receipt from your tech data or D&H or whoever you buy your hardware from, and they're going to look at it, and to them, it's going to look like a computer, and they're going to have no idea whether it's a server or it's a laptop or a desktop or who the customer is or anything. So does it really matter? Like, can you use a different way of saying how many servers you've sold? Right? Does it have to live on your P&L? I say the answer is no. Right? Keep your P&L nice and simple. What? Are you one of those people that have, like, you know, a cost account for every vendor on your P&L and it goes on for three pages?
No, I don't have that for every vendor, but we do break out a lot of our hardware, you know, between servers and desktops, and, you know, I'll even do memory and hard drives, and, you know, she does get, you know, those invoices from TD SYNNEX and D&H, and she's got to come to me and she asks, where does this go? Where does this go? Because we do separate out those costs, and I don't do it as elaborate as I'm saying, because, you know, I do have, for instance, hardware and software related to HP. I have those in a separate category because I want to know what my HP costs are, because when I have to go back and deal with HP as a partner and they say, you've got to have this much in sales, you know, I can at least say, okay, yep, I've got the sales related to HP.
Okay. And I see the value in that. I also feel like there are different ways of doing that so that it doesn't land right on the P&L.
Right.
Right. So, you know, one way is inside your QuickBooks, you can have an item called HP hardware. And so that the purchase and the sale of HP hardware, or HPE or HP machines or HP servers or HP whatever. And, you know, so then the bookkeeper can go in and say, oh, this is an HP. And then she doesn't have to ask, you know, what it is. You can just pick up the item called HP hardware right on the transaction and post it there. And it's going to go to the proper expense account. Then at the end of the year, you can either, you can run a report by the vendor to see how much spend you have with the vendor of Hewlett Packard, or you can run a report on that product item or those product items, those HP products, to see, you know, all of the purchases and all of the sales in one place. Where so you can have the information on your P&L just be the financial information, and then use other parts of the accounting system to get the detailed vendor customer level types of reports.
Yeah. Oh, we just got into the weeds there.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. But I think it's important to let people know that these are the types of things to think about in the beginning. You may not want to get as detailed as we just got. Remember, I've been doing this 27 years.
Right.
And you've been, you know, helping people with businesses a little less than that. So, you know, having all of this set up is really, in my mind, something that needs to be done from the beginning with intention, and something that needs to be looked at. And the two reports that I think are probably the most crucial, and you can tell me if you agree or disagree, but the P&L statement, profit and loss, and the cash flow statement.
I would agree with that. I also feel like the balance sheet has its own value. Although, and it's always like treated like the redheaded stepchild, but the P&L and the cash flow statements are by far the two most critical to keep your eye on at all times. And like, you know, we're talking about the chart of accounts, and we could talk about the chart of accounts all day, but if you're not looking at the reports on a fairly regular basis, and if you're not using that information because it's too complicated to pull the information from, you know, or you just simply don't do it because you're too busy, you know, you won't do it if it's not useful to you. So you have to make that P&L useful to you. Like, you've already done that. We do track, you know, the hardware in different buckets because we need that information for this reason or that reason. As long as you're using the data, it doesn't really matter how. You know, if you're separating out advertising costs between, you know, the yellow book and the yellow pages and the Donnelly directory just because you want to see them separated out, you don't need to see that separated out on the P&L. You can do that other ways, right? There's plenty of time to complicate your books. Start simple so that you can use it and you can understand it. And then the more you use it and the more you understand it, then you'll start to say, you know, it would be really nice if I could see this piece, you know, then you can start to complicate things and set goals with your P&L, right? So, and I'm segueing straight into the goals. I hope
that's okay. Go right ahead.
Cool. Because
all I was going to do is tell you that it takes a lot of history to know that at one time there was both a yellow book and yellow pages that were completely separate things.
Yes. And, you know, I've seen that on people's P&Ls too. You know? So, and now you see things like different, you know, websites or, you know, where they advertise stuff. And, you know, advertising is not marketing. I will grant you that. But advertising is advertising. And does it really matter? You're not using your P&L to track your ROI on advertising, right? So, like, if you can't say, if you can't look at your P&L and say, oh, look, we've spent $5,000 on advertising and we got these five clients from this particular piece of advertising, I'm pretty certain that you're not tracking it that way. And therefore, it doesn't really belong on the P&L. Track your ROI on advertising some other way, your CRM, your PSA. You know, there's plenty of other ways that you can track ROI on that. But I wanted to talk a little bit about using your P&L to set goals. Because this is, you know, like, and especially if you're starting out, let's just pretend that you're starting out and you're like, you wake up one day and, oh, gee, I think I want to go into business for myself today. Right. So you throw your shingle out and off you go. But if you, you know, if you don't have any goals and you don't know really what it is that you're shooting for, you know, you then you can start just taking any person, any dollar that walks in off the street, turn it into a customer. And before you know it, you have a bunch of customers that you don't enjoy working with because you haven't set your goals, right? You don't even know, like, oh, I'll sell you this for this, or I'll give you a special deal just for you, right? Type of deal. But if you step back for just a minute and do this once a year, I like to do this every year, right around November. Take a look at what I did in the past year, the past 12 months. And what do I want to accomplish in the next 12 months? Let me tell you, I'm going to share with you some of the things some of our clients have come to me with. I have a client, they want their monthly recurring revenue to hit $1 million at the end of the year. Not $1 million per month, but they want their recurring revenue to be $1 million. So they've set a goal of $83,000 per month. And so when we review the financials every month, we want to see how close that recurring revenue comes to the magical number of $83,000. Because if it hits 83 or above, then we're on target to hit that $1 million just for the recurring revenue. And, you know, like this is a top line number that they've set for themselves. I was talking with another woman the other day, and she has a different goal for her business. And it was really interesting chatting with her, right? So, she wants the monthly recurring revenue and the professional services, like the T&M type of work, to cover all of the expenses of the company, the costs, the overhead expenses, right? Like, she wants the entire business to be able to run on MRR and professional services alone, so that product sales and projects, you know, are just like bonuses, you know, or like the brother who regularly bails on family events, right? You can't count on them, but you're glad when they show up. So, and I thought that was a really interesting outlook, you know, like, okay, these are the costs that I need to cover on a monthly basis. So I need my MRR and my professional services to hit this number, and anything above it, you know, is cream cheese.
Interesting.
Do you have any goals like that set for yourself or for your business?
Yeah, I do actually. And I do it similar to what you described, except that I want all of my expenses, salary and expenses, payroll and expenses, to be paid by my monthly recurring only.
Okay.
So that everything else that I do, all of the, and this, that excludes things that I get commission for. So for instance, a lot of things that I resell, as a referral instead of, you know, as a managed service, I separate them out because some of our 365s are simply referrals, our voice over IP referral. Mm-hmm. Internet sales that I get, you know, for Comcast, AT&T, Windstream, referral. I'm not including that as part of my monthly recurring.
Of course, so, you should not. Right.
Right. So I want all of our stuff to be covered simply by the managed services only. So yes, I do have that goal.
And that's awesome. And right. So whatever your goal is, you know, as long as you know it, then you have something to shoot for. You know, like I want to say it was the Cheshire Cat that says, you know, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. Right? So, but if you, you know, have intention-based, you know, goals, then you can say, oh, I need to increase this next month, or I need to, you know, reduce that in the following month or whatever. And, you know, and then I think we, you know, and there's also like benchmarks that you can keep in the back of your head. Like, and that's one of the questions I think I get a lot. What, what numbers should I be shooting for? You know, and you'll get this from a lot of, you know, the newer MSPs or the startups. Like, they don't even know, you know, where they should be spending their money or how much of it they should be spending. And so, you know, if we talk just a few minutes about benchmarks, I mean, there's a couple of really basic principles, right? When you sell something, you add up all of your sales for the month. That is 100% of your top line revenue, right? Now, if you have your gross profit, and when you run your P&L from your accounting system, try to always make sure that you put the percentages next to it, the percentage of income, because that's what I'm about to talk about here. All right. So your top line revenue, 100% of your income, your gross profit should be a minimum of 40%. That's 40% of your top line income. And then your fixed expenses, not the cost of goods sold, but the fixed expenses at the bottom, that should be about 25% of your top line income. And that should leave you with 15% of net profits, right? So anytime your gross profit dips below 40%, or anytime your expenses go higher than 25%, you are reducing that 15% net profit, you know, dollar for dollar. And that, you know, like, if you can keep those simple numbers, if you can keep those simple figures in your head, so that when you're looking at your P&L, right, and you see that gross profit margin and it's below 40%, you're like, maybe I need to raise prices a little. Or, you know, you can't always sell your way out of a gross profit number problem, but you can take a look at the margins. Maybe you haven't priced your products or your services enough, high enough, or maybe your vendor increased the cost of something and you forgot to increase your price to that same customer for whatever reason, right? So you want to keep your eye on those margins. But when you start talking about some of those service margins, like your products, your 20% is a fine margin on product sales. And by products, I mean things like hardware, computers, laptop servers, you know, firewalls, that sort of thing. A 20% markup is entirely reasonable, or a 20% margin. Sorry, not a 20% markup, but a 20% margin. And then, like, for your managed services, your recurring services, and I'm going to treat recurring services differently than cloud resale, because cloud resale comes with its own set of margins depending on the vendor. Like Microsoft, for instance, you're never going to get a 65% margin on Microsoft products, but you should be getting a 65% margin on the majority of your managed services, your recurring services, that sort of thing. And then, your professional services, well, that's tricky because not all of us sell our time anymore. For a lot of times we bundle time in with other services. And so it's hard. So as you're paying labor costs, you're paying for your employees, it may not always align properly with your professional services income. So don't beat yourself up too much about that.
Right. So the first thing I guess we should remember is that goals and benchmarks are two different things.
I would agree. Yes.
And that our goals, they're not dictated by the benchmarks, but you want to make sure you hit your benchmarks on a regular basis to get to where you want to get with your goals. That's a lot of information in terms of trying to figure out all those benchmarks.
Well, if you can keep a couple of the benchmarks, you know, some of the simple ones to get started, 40% company-wide gross profit margin, 25% on the fixed expenses, and your target should be about 15% at the net income level. But, you know, if you're hovering around the 10% range for net income, you're doing just fine. If you're hovering around the 1 or 2% range in net income, you need to make some changes. You're working too hard and you're not getting paid.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. There's a lot of activity outside my office today. I don't know what's going on. We've got either a drag race going on or a police chase happening. So,
well, I'm not hearing any of it, but I hope it's a drag race. It sounds fun.
It does. All right. So in the simplest terms for people to get started, obviously we talked about, you know, get an accountant, get a proper accounting package, get your, you know, chart set up properly, have some goals, know these simple benchmarks. That could sound daunting for a new person, but all of that should be something that can be done early on, probably within the first 90 days, right?
Oh, easily. Absolutely. Right. So there's chart accounts where you could just, you know, I think that if you went to Reddit or any of the number Facebook MSP groups, you know, and say, hey, does anybody have an MSP focused chart of accounts? Usually I'm there to answer, to point you to my website and say, just go download mine and import it into your brand new QuickBooks. And it's a great place to start. It's super simple. It's got your revenue streams already broken out for you. You don't have to think about it. All you need to do is get the transactions into the right spots.
All right. And there's a lot of places where people can find you. Not only can you find you at your website, which I'll have a link to, the abcsolutionsfl.com. You are a big part of the small biz community, the Small Biz Thoughts. You do some seminars there. You're out and about in a lot of places.
Well, you know, I have a passion for the IT community, you know, and the longer I work within the community, and so many great people inside this community, and everybody's always so willing to help everybody else. Like you, for instance, I mean, you put out some amazing content week after week after week, you know, for I don't even know how many years you've been doing this. But, you know, everybody loves, you know, Uncle Marv's business, IT business podcast. And, you know, and you've got a number of other shows that you do too. So I don't know that I've ever run into another business community so willing to help so many others in the same community. Like, it's just one of the best communities I've ever encountered.
It is absolutely amazing, and I'm glad that I hit it at the right time that I did, because when I got started, this wasn't around. You know, it was people like us that kind of started helping each other, because the people that were before us didn't want to talk to us. It didn't want us taking their business.
I always laugh at people. I don't want to go to, you know, I don't want to go to those events. You know, those are all of my, what do they call them? Competitors. And I'm like, these are not your competitors. These are your colleagues, right? We're friends. We help each other. We want to see each other succeed. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure that that happens. It's, I guess it's just a different mindset. I'm glad that I found the IT community when I did back in the early 2000s, because it's just been an incredible experience.
All right. Well, I'm glad you found it too, because if not so, we would not be talking and having these events together. I've seen you out and about. I'll be in Tampa a couple of times, so I'll have to let you know when I'm in the area.
Come over and say hi. Let's go have lunch.
All right. Well, folks, we are going to go ahead and end off this show here, mainly because we just started having our own little separate podcast. But we wanted to do a show this time that was focused on getting started, knowing your numbers as a way to, you know, get started on the right foot. Rhianna's going to come back, and we're going to do a second show, and it's going to focus more on the backside of the business. You know, what's your number when it comes time to exit or something to that effect? So we'll be back with that. Rhianna, thank you very much for doing this for me.
Thank you, Marv. I always enjoy coming onto your show.
All right. And we'll have, again, her link in the show notes. You can check her out. And we'll be back again soon. That's going to do it for this episode. Head over to idbusinesspodcast.com. Make sure that you select one of the podcatchers so that you'll be notified when we have these shows come out live. We'll see you soon. And until next time, holla.